Hare Krishna. Then we thank you very, very much for this occasion to address you today on the day of my birthday. Seems to be still a lion in the lungs because who wants to jump out on that? I just wanted to share with you a general reflection before I start with my presentation. I think you might be knowing how does such an Swami feel on such a wonderful surrounding which reminds one entirely of a time in Vrindavan with everything there, but Krishna playing his flute, Giriraj, Govardhan, and the nectar river of Krishna consciousness. How does he feel about this? I want to answer this question. I feel very nervous and very good at the same time. I feel nervous because I know this festival is something which requires a lot of responsibility on my side. I really pray to Krishna that all of you who come to this festival, who also see it through the media, the internet camera, the internet TV, and who will later hear it through the audio recordings, I really pray that you will obtain what you came from. I really hope that this setup, me sitting on a high seat in such a wonderful and artistically crafted atmosphere, and you sitting at a lower seat listening to me, I pray that the spark of Krishna consciousness will really travel into your heart. When I was sitting down here, I felt really nervous. And I prayed, let me not be a bulb which is disconnected. Let me be a bulb which, due to its connection, can give the light for which it was installed here. Don't want to be like this. I want to be like this, in other words. I was praying to Srila Prabhupada and to Lord Krishna, let these devotees not be cheated. They have made such an arrangement. They deserve to come closer to Krishna, because that is the reason why we have met. This is the reason why we are maintaining our relationship. And this is the reason why someone will stop his relationship to me. It all centers around Krishna. We have met because of Krishna's arrangement. We are maintaining our relationship because we are hoping that the Krishna consciousness will flow through this, that you will obtain Krishna. And those who go away will think, oh, Sachidananda Swami is no good any longer. The light is not coming through him. The enthusiasm is not coming. So it's all about this delivery of Krishna consciousness. And it is done, this is my second point, in a specifically religious cultural space. I know this is a difficult word. What I mean is that these are all, this is a tradition in which we meet, which comes from a specific a tradition, the Gaudiya Sampradaya. This tradition has informed my dress and your dress today. This tradition has informed the thing by you give me a garland and not a flower bouquet. This tradition has informed us why we sing in Sanskrit and not in Latin, for instance, our songs, or in any other language. And in this way, you will feel, you will see, if you are watching very carefully, there are a lot of elements which are coming from our spiritual tradition, our Gaudiya Sampradaya, which inform this whole program. It's a space which is created in which we meet as guru and disciple. And it's a space. The Christian space would look slightly different. It would not be so many bright colors, for sure. Black would be a preferred color. And there would be a cross of Jesus as a symbol, which means something for a Christ to connect to a higher reality. There would be a Pope, if you are a Roman Catholic, sitting here with the special attire and dress of the Pope, or an evangelic priest with a suit sitting here. The elements would be the same. The space, the cultural space, would be different. What is very important is that we do not sacrifice what has to go on in this space to make it alive for the form. It's very important that we do not sacrifice the content for the form, or like Prabhupada would say, the bottle should not be mistaken with the wine. He said, this is old wine in new bottles. You know, it's a very, 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 very important. There's a god brother of mine who feels so strongly about it that it, he even makes the point, which is sometimes not appreciated by all, that we may have to move away from the culture in order to again realize the essence. I personally very much appreciate this, the spirit behind this demand, but I feel this is a good space, as good as any other space which any culture can offer, if the essence is presented in this space, if it is presented. So let me therefore quickly, without wasting your time with socio-religious ideas, go to the essence. Why are we here? Why are you here? And why am I here? And don't get up from the seat and leave you. Why? What is going on? What is the essential element in here? I know there is something like, oh, we want to see each other again. Oh, at least once in a year I want to see Guru Maharaj. That's when he celebrates his birthday. Welcome all of those who come with this motive. And I also say, oh, I would really like to see my disciples when we celebrate birthday. Very human aspect is there. And I know that many of us are seeing through the camera, so I see you all on the camera, there's a whole or through the camera in my mind's eye. Yes, there is a desire to meet, to celebrate, to have also some joy and some humor and some some feeling that I care for this relationship and my Guru Maharaj cares for me. He is happy if Draupadi is there. He cares for this. This is a human element, which is certainly very important. But is there some? Can we go to a different layer? Is there a different layer as well? Yes, there is the hope that you will get some inspirations in your spiritual life from me. And I am. I mean, I have to be very honest. I like presents, and today I will get presents. So this is also there. We are old enough. We can talk. I'm just so happy to see all of you, because although I'm a little shy and I don't always look at everyone's eyes, as you know, I have this shyness situation, what to do. So this is another level. Birthday. And relationships. I feel very strongly today in my address to you that there is another, even deeper level, which is the whole point of all of this. And that is the one relationship. The divine relationship. The relationship to the playful personality who today has chosen to sit on top of a mountain playing and doing what he likes very much, to play his flute and attract us. This relationship to Krishna is the reason why we met. You were called by Krishna. You were moving out of your ordinary lives and became devotees of Krishna. You became his dasa and his dasi. And I became like that also. And I, Prabhupada told me to do this, to be a guru. He told me this personally in 1974. And I'm doing this as a service to Srila Prabhupada and to all of you. With happiness, I'm doing this service. Because I know inside all of this, the culture, the personal relationships, the happiness and joy being together with those which we love, inside all of this is the jewel. Not there, they're fixed. To which I am most attracted, the jewel of my own relationship to Krishna and your relationship to Krishna. See, a little while ago we celebrated a birthday of a wonderful Vaishnava and who's very close to my heart. I was thinking, what will I tell to him on his birthday? And I said something to him which I want to repeat today to all of you. My dear devotees, we came to be related to Krishna. We have changed our name. Our last name is Das or Dasi, a Krishna Das and a Krishna Dasi. If we now don't make a close relationship with Krishna, an intimate relationship, we will miss the whole point of all of this. We will remain stuck to the outer walls of a cultural space, so to say. We will not taste the essence, and we will feel cheated at the end of life, that another life is wasted, and so on. I know this idea is very prominent when we join, but it gets lost as we have to deal with all the things which we thought we will never have to deal with. One is our own shadow, our own difficulties, our material absorption, our ignorance, our attachments, our false ego, the whole compact knot which binds us to material existence. And the others are necessary. Some become grihastas, and then all of a sudden, yesterday, a wonderful mother told me, "Wow, I get now a second child. Do you know what this means? 3 years of not thinking anything else than child, 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 child." Yes, it is like an atom bomb, a little child which comes and takes all of our attention and demands all of our attention. I have seen parents, grown-up men and women, in tears. How their sweet little monster. I'm saying it humorously. I know it's not a monster. It's a great devotee. Our children are great devotees. But some humor, can't we laugh sometimes? How they are so sweet at the same time, but demand so much time at the other time, even when one is tired and not in the mood. So, yes. This is one thing which overwhelms us. The question, what job will I do to maintain my existence in this world, is another thing which can be very overwhelming. But most overwhelming is really the thing which we really didn't think would be there and would be so persistent. That is our own shadow, or our own weaknesses, our own conditionings and so on, which takes so much time. Do you know how much time we waste in trying to fulfill desires separate from Krishna? Ooh, that is a big time stealer. Big time stealer. So let us remember on this day that we should not miss the whole point. That is our relationship to Krishna. My dear devotees, I made a personal discovery about this. I always forget numbers of years. Some numbers I know, but most of the numbers go in and then I forget them. But so I can't tell you when I first read Harinam Chintamani of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a point. He says, the substance is different from the shadow. And he relates this point to Krishna's most merciful incarnation in this age of Kali, the holy name, the Nam Prabhu. No? He says, there is the real name, which is the substance, and there is the shadow, which is thrown from the name. And he says, unless we are moving out of the shadow and coming to the substance, our material desires will not go. They will keep us engaged and bound to the material world. I think it's easy. Today I requested Sundarananda to give me some tea. Now imagine he would, out of laziness, not have put in the tea, and I would only have the shadow of a tea here. I would not have my thirst quenched with the shadow. Or a good friend, if there's only the shadow of the friend there, I can't talk to a shadow, and I can't eat with him pizza, and so on. The shadow can't fulfill what the substance does. So I began to understand this very deeply and made some corrections in my chanting, which go on at each round. Each round before I mean, sometimes I'm also in a hurry and I'm I'm a little bit forgetful of the need to establish a real relationship. But my goal in life and my ideal is really to not be in the shadow, because it will not be useful for anyone. And Krishna will feel, what is he doing? What is he saying my name, but he's totally somewhere else. What is this greenhorn doing? I mean, he should something should go on. A little, I want to tell you today my favorite Krishna story. It's about Gopal. There was a little boy. He was very poor. He had lost his father, and only his mother took care of him. They lived somewhere in a remote area in the forest. The mother had a little vegetable garden, and they lived there without their father. The father had gone through one day into the forest, and he never returned because a tiger had attacked him and killed him. So the day came when the boy had to go to school. The village school was a good walk of 5 kilometers away from where the boy lived, and he started out in the morning to go to the school, and he returned in the afternoon, and his mother gave him a meal. The next morning the boy started again. When he was a good way into the forest, he heard a tiger calling, and he remembered his father and what had happened to his father. He turned around, running to his mother, and said, "The tiger is there in the forest. I do not have the courage to cross and go to the school." The mother said, "No, you have to have education, and you need to know how to read. You're a Brahmin boy. You need to later make a living and do ceremonies, yagyas. You somehow have to go." "But mother, I'm so afraid. And I remember our father." Well, the mother said, "Well, if you are afraid, there's one person who can help you and defend you. His name is Gopal, our Lord. Just when you feel the fear, call Gopal. Call like you really mean it, and he will help you." That is in our scriptures, that against fear we call the name of Gopal. Gopal Gayatri, and all you have read the Gayatri book about this. So the boy tried to go into the forest. Then there was again the sound of the tiger. This time he just fearfully said, "Gopal, Gopal, Gopal." Yes. He looked next to him, and there was a boy standing next to him. "Have you heard the tiger?" "Yes, it's all right. Go on, he's somewhere else. Let's go together. I will walk with you. Don't fear. And when I'm going back from the school, you just call for me, and I will accompany you home." So this was done. Every day the boy called for Gopal. They talked about many things as they walked through the forest, and every day Gopal accompanied the boy back to the house of his mother. This went on for many years until the last day, the celebration day, came in the school, and the teacher said to all his students, "Tomorrow we will celebrate and we will offer a puja to Ganesh. You please bring something for this celebration and festival. Anything, money, cloth, anything." So the boy went home and asked his mother, "Tomorrow is a celebration. I'm asked to bring something, mother." "Oh," said the mother, "we have no money. We have nothing. Vegetables, we are out of vegetables." And in English, they don't care for one zucchini. "Well, you go in the forest and you call for Gopal and ask him for help." So the boy went and called out to Gopal like he did every day. And again, the Lord came, and the boy, very innocent boy, said, "Gopal, I need to bring something for the Ganesh Puja today." "Oh, I have nothing," said Gopal. "I'm a cowherd, man. I mean, I could give you a stick, but I need the stick for cowherding." "Well, I have yogurt, fresh yogurt." And he went and came back with a cup, a clay cup, filled with yogurt, which the boy took to the celebration. The teacher was already waiting and said, "So what have you brought for the celebration?" And every one of the boys gave their gift. Cloth for the Ganesh Puja, flowers, foodstuffs to be offered to the Lord, to Ganesh, and then distributed to all those who attended the celebration. And then the boy came and said, "I have not brought very much. We are a little poor. Brothers, come of yogurt." Teacher said, "One small cup of yogurt. What can we do on such a big puja day with one cup of yogurt? There's so many people that come and they will eat. How many people can you feed afterwards for one cup of yogurt? You nonsense. Are you not grateful to the teachings you have received?" And he took the cup. "This is what we do with such people." And he started to pour the yogurt out of the cup. As he was pouring, he poured on and on and on. Prabhupada. They brought a baldi, it's called. Baldi. One baldi was filled. Bring another baldi. He filled 20 baldis. "What magical cup that do you have?" The boy said, "I don't know. Gopal gave it to me. The cowherd." "Which Gopal?" "Well, he says that he's a cowherd man." So the teacher knew from the ancient scriptures that the one of the Lord is Ananta. Today, Ananta Gauranga, unlimited Gauranga, was singing for you, unlimitedly beautiful Ketha. One of the names is Ananta. Therefore, the Lord cannot be bound by anyone, not even Mother Yashoda, if he does not want. The Ananta Vishnu, unlimited universes come from him, not just from any place, but from the pores of his body. Unlimited supplies, planets. He takes care of unlimited living entities. Now the teacher knew all this. This word Ananta, Ananta yogurt, you know, unlimited yogurt, unlimited Vishnu. He connected by association. "Can I see your Gopal?" "Yes," said the boy. "He comes with me every day. We talk about many things. When I return back, you can come, and then I will call him and you can see him." So after the puja, after the ceremony, the boy went with his teacher. They went into the forest, and then he called, "Gopal! Gopal! Gopal was not showing up this time." Teacher looked at him. "Where is your Gopal? He's not coming. Is it all a lie?" "No, no, no. He says maybe he's very busy at the moment. I just call again. Gopal! Then go again. He was behind a tree. The boy could see that the teacher, due to his different positioning, could not see. And go back there. Because he does not want to be revealed to someone who's an unbeliever. My dear devotees, this is my favorite story. Because it brings me to the credo of my life. Credo means my inner conviction, my innermost conviction, that the Lord is present in His holy name, but He does not reveal Himself to someone who does shadow chanting, who chants without making a relationship with Krishna. I want to show you a picture which up till now is my favorite birthday present, but I have not seen everything. It was given to me by my friend Nandi. Nandi is about the age of the boy. He was thinking, what does Sachinanda Swami like most? His idea was most probably Krishna. So he made an illustration of Krishna. Which I have never seen done by any other artist. I have not even seen Pablo Picasso made such a beautiful piece of art. It shows the Lord, but it's called winking at you. I heard Jairaji has informed me, winking. Isn't it, Jairaji?
Yes.
Can you see this eye? Mm-hmm. It is closed, like if someone goes... Now, no one has ever done this in Vaishnava art, showing a very personal aspect of Krishna, a very sweet aspect, the aspect that Krishna and the friend. Can you see from your position, Deepak? It is visible? Yes. What a wonderful, wonderful painting and a wonderful idea expressed, an innocent idea. Yes, the Lord is our friend, and He does what a friend does. He winks at us when He has maybe a point, a humorous point, or He wants to encourage us, and so on. I really think this shows that this boy is very evolved. He believes that Krishna is his friend, and he winks at him like his best friend. Winks and blinzelt mit dem Augen, sagt man so. Schelmisch blinzeln, sagt man, glaube ich, in Norddeutsch. Schelmisch. And so, when I got this painting, I thought, wow, I don't need more. I feel very much called into what I want to say to you. This idea that Krishna is our friend, it is possible to have a relationship. I think something like 10 years ago, there was a tremendous threat to our movement in Germany and also our Goloka Dham project. And during the threat, I was not able to sleep for 14 days because it was so severe, the threat, that our whole movement could be finished here in Germany. We could all go as criminals into prison. The threat was like this. In Germany's fiscus means the financial Finanzbehörde, the finance office, the office of finance, the government, had somehow found out how many books we had distributed, millions of them, and they wanted to have tax for all these books. The tax, the amount was up to 30 million, it was 30 million I don't know if this was euros or German marks. It was the same. The euro is like the German mark now by the power of foreseeable inflation. And if we would not have been able to pay it, they would have, which we can't, who can pay 30 million euros? I mean, ask Dora Hari to give you 1 million euro, and you will find out that he will tell you, no, I need from you. we are not in the position of this. Maybe we would be Shiva Bhaktas, but we are Krishna Bhaktas, it's better. And there was great anxiety. The anxiety was so big that we could not tell anyone. It was only Brahma Muhurta, the BBT chef, who knew it, Vishwadev, I believe, and myself. No one else was informed, because the devotees would maybe have run away, and so on. And then I had a serious discussion with Brahma Muhurta, which I never forget. Brahma Muhurta said, so what can we do? I said, nothing. Is there anyone who could help us? He said, do you know many millionaires? And I said, Prabhu, let's get serious now. There's only one person who can help us. His name starts with K and ends with A. Wow, that's a good point, Maharaj. Why did I forget? Yeah, we all forget. We are called the International Society for Forgetting Krishna. I mean, when it comes to real things, we have a shadow presentation. We never turn to Krishna. It took many years until someone could paint such a painting, and he didn't even know that it's a good painting. He said, I have nothing more. Wow, this is something I will frame, and when I die, it will be on my chest. So okay, what do we do, Maharaj? I said, we go to the Lord's incarnation of Lord Nrisimhadev. I will chant every day the Nrisimha Kavacha, and so on. So I did this every day, just very strongly chanting, praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, please, we don't want to disappoint Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we, when we are aufliegen in Germany, when we are destroyed in Germany, it will echo throughout the world. Some will be happy, oh, the Germans finally get there. They were too proud before, the German devotees, now they get their souls. Others will cry like us. So, and then Brahma Muhurta went to the finance office. For those of you who don't know, there is a saying in Germany, two things must be absolutely avoided. The office of finance and death. If you want to live, two things have to be avoided. This is a Kami saying in Germany. It is very serious. They eat you alive. It's office of finance, when you come. They are not joking. So Brahma Muhurta came back and he said, a miracle happened. I went to them. I said, we have no money.
Nothing.
But we have something which you have lost. What? You call it idealism, we call it faith in God. We have distributed these books not for money, therefore we are not under your laws. We have done it in the faith that by trying to help others, on their way to God consciousness, the best Vrgastan. This is not business, this is religion or spirituality. So he said it in many more words, of course, and with letters of recommendation, endorsements, and so on. Then the people who were responsible said, we need to discuss this. And they informed us, come back again. And then they said, there is one question. Some of us think you should pay something as goodwill, because you print books, right? You distribute books, right? And you get money, right? You ask for something. It is something. The money is involved, so something. Our Mahārāja said nothing. And I said, we have nothing. We have nothing even to get a nice yogurt. We are poor. Then they said, you are impossible. Okay, you pay nothing. I still remember how the question came up. Is there anyone who can help us? Maybe this millionaire. I knew a millionaire in Bad Kissingen. Maybe him, maybe this and that. And finally, both of us understood, no, this is so much. Only Krishna can help. My dear devotees, it's here where your Krishna consciousness can start. To be conscious of Krishna, to know his role in your life, and dare I say it, to be close to Krishna. When you are distant to someone, you never think of him. Huh? If you are close to the person, you think of him every day. If you feel, for instance, distant to your Guru Maharaj, you never think of him. Only when his birthday comes, you say, I have to come, otherwise he's angry and I have bad reactions. You know. If you have a relationship, you think of Prabhupada every day. I mean, we try to think of Prabhupada every day, because this is the magic of a relationship. So if you're distant with Krishna, you will never think of him. You will not remember him. Even in the most obvious situations of your life, where you really only can turn to Krishna. When you have a closer relationship, you will think of him often. This is my point. So I want to share with you what I do in order to make my relationship with Krishna. I chant. Put it somewhere. Yeah. Yes, it is here. I chant every day, but sometimes because I'm not so Krishna conscious, I also forget. But I'm not so good. I don't want to appear as something I'm not. But mostly I chant samsara sagaranata putra mitra griha kankana. It means something I will not tell you, because you either will chant it or not. You, whenever you hear it, you will forget it. But it says that anyone who chants this prayer every day will for sure attain the personal service of Radha Krishna in the spiritual world at the end of the life. This is the blessing. There's something I should say. Oh, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, please save me from the ocean of birth and death. Please rescue me, save me from the troubles born from children, friends, and home. It means material life, huh? Not devotee children, not devotee friends, not devotee home. Huh? Please rescue me from the entanglement in material life. Please and please break into pieces the fears of your surrendered devotees. And then it goes like this. It's very beautiful. O Sri Sri Radha Krishna, today I place myself and everything which I so-called possess, both in this life and in the next, at your feet. It's all yours. I'm yours, what I have, my car is yours, everything is yours. And it's a beautiful prayer. It knocks at my consciousness every day and informs me of that one relationship. I also do something which I have learned from the Chaitanya Shikshamrita of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says, a serious devotee first of all thinks about surrendering to Krishna. And there's a beautiful prayer collection called Sharanagati that is available on the ISKCON marketplace, which reminds you of how Krishna is in control of your life. I'm a tiny soul bound up by Maya, and I vainly means I'm not successful, I unsuccessfully struggle with worldly desires. Without your sanction, I'm unable to do anything. You are my only protector and maintainer. Except for your lotus feet, there is no other hope for me. My dear devotees, think what happens to a child who does not call out for his parents and cry for the parents. Little baby, it will die. What will happen to you if you never call out to Krishna? Spiritually, you will not be full of life. You will be without life spiritually. Only materially you will follow the endless dictates of the material mind. So this Sharanagati is very beautiful, very nicely. And when I chant, this is the third thing which I do. I pray this one prayer, Krishna Tomar Hana. Oh, my Lord, since so many years in this material world and lives, I have completely forgotten you. Kindly accept me as your surrendered servant. I am today turning to you as your sincere servant. Please accept me. Now, this is a prayer from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me end my lecture today by telling you what Krishna feels when he sees someone trying to turn to him. This is explained by in the Bhagavatam. Shrinvatasvakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Rivyantasto Yavadrani Vidyanoti Srivisata. Oh, how Brahmanas are chanting. Wonderful, very qualified Brahmanas. You know, when Krishna sees that you have eagerness or an urge. Urge is the word Prabhupada uses here. What is an urge? It's something you cannot say no to. If someone, for instance, now feels an urge to visit the private room, he can say no for half an hour, but after this, the urge becomes a scream, you know. I need to go to the private room, you fanatic. Get up and bring me to the fire. To the private room, otherwise I create a lake here. Boiling my cord. This is an urge. It means something you don't want to suppress. You have to follow. So when Krishna sees that someone has developed an urge to hear his message, then when he sees only someone who wants to hear about it, wow, then he himself, who's already living in the heart of every one of us, helps us by clearing our material entanglement away from us. Krishna needs to see that just like you have bodily urges, you have developed a spiritual urge. And you want to, you need to fulfill this by reading the Bhagavatam. And if he sees this eagerness, a little lowlyam is called, then he helps you. Prabhupada says, this eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee, which makes him eligible for qualified for entering the kingdom of God. This is where it starts. So I'm every day starting, I'm reading the Bhagavatam, I'm doing this, or sometimes I'm reading other scriptures, spiritual scriptures, Krishna conscious scriptures, which carry the Bhagavatam message. Because I know that the Lord will hear me knocking at his door, and the Lord will become eager to help this fallen soul. This is my my personal conviction. So I pray this prayer. Also pray the Sharanagati prayers. I try to chant in connection my rounds, and I read. I try to hear about Krishna. Maybe some of you have seen. I always like to tell stories of Krishna. Have you heard, seen this? I've changed that. Also, I like to talk about Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Have you heard this? I'm trying to develop it and trick you that you will listen with violin and flute. Have you noted that someone is thinking? My thought is, if I want to ever develop a relationship with Krishna, and if I want to help you develop a relationship with Krishna, we have to start. We cannot afford to talk about everything except for Krishna. Once again, if I want to develop a relationship with Krishna, if I want you to develop a relationship with Krishna, we cannot afford to talk about everything else except for Krishna. We have to start talking about Krishna seriously. We have to talk from the scriptures, like Shukadev Goswami, Shukamuni, and all these great souls. We have to absorb ourselves, and this is what I have seen in my life, and that's what I try to do. My dear devotees, you have to become intimate with Krishna, close. It has to be a relationship. Can't just be a head thing, a philosophical thing. And our guru is a child. Two children, the one in the story who believed that Gopal could come if he called him. Gopal came to him. Has Gopal come to you? Why not, if you are calling Hare Krishna and chanting Krishna's name? Maybe you are not believing that he can come. Maybe you are not thinking of him. Maybe you are not cultivating in your life that relationship. And without this, our life will not be able to remove suffering from its roots. You know, there is external, visible suffering, but then there are the roots of suffering. And the roots of suffering is ignorance or our forgetfulness of Krishna. So, you will always suffer, even if you put very nice colors on your nails and very attractive dresses and many material items around you and good access to all the things you want to do. You have taken care only of the external things. You have not removed the misery of your real life, your forgetfulness and separateness from Krishna. So, now I have talked. I hope it was inspirational for you. I must always say, when I say like this, Now, I do know that many of you think about the relationship of Kripa to Krishna. I heard today about one devotee who lives somewhere in the Balkans, and every day rises at 4 o'clock, chants all the rounds, cooks for his Gonitai deities, does service all day, makes vegetables for the deity. This is a lot of personal relationships are going on. And yesterday I heard the best compliments. There was one devotee who had to go to India today, who said, "I looked around, Maharaj, and I saw these are all people I want to be with. He's not my disciple. How did you get such wonderful people around you?" And I said, "I don't know. They are wonderful. I'm not wonderful. But somehow, I don't know, they are merciful on me." And Krishna said that to me. He said like this, "I looked around. He's a very bright person, very intelligent. And I saw these are all people I want to be with." I said, "Really?" Yes. And they're so creative and so artful and so... And he didn't even see this. It was not visible yesterday, I think. So, but I'm saying this just, it's important that at least someone says like this. And because you are listening to me, I know this, you're listening to the tapes, and those who do not listen to me, they will listen at least on the birthday to me. So therefore I have to say these things. I'm getting my prasada because of this. I have to remind you, and if I say it very softly and sweetly, you will not pay attention. I have to say, but now I'm out of the mood. Now I'm in my real mood. I thank you very much. Thank you very much for making your efforts in Krishna consciousness. Another year has passed, and all of you have given their best to be in Krishna consciousness. Krita Gyan, they say in Sanskrit. I know it has been done by you. A few days ago I read through all the letters which you gave me. Vasudevasa Puja. You had given me big bunch of letters, and I read them again to find out what you had written, and there was so much devotion flowing from the pages. I had a difficulty, I had to say, I will get new letters, and if I have the old letters, there is no place in Gaura Bhavan. So I have to, where do I put them, you know? It is holy letters, I cannot. Maybe we have to get a space on the ground and store them there. Then I know, imagine a person who would dig for lost civilizations 1,000 years later from here, you know, he would found all these letters. He would say, "Wow, these letters would be glowing with devotion," and he would become a devotee just by reading your letters. I'm sure. So it's, I know you're doing your level best, and it is good, but it doesn't harm to talk about these things. Okay, so now I will be silent. Now is your turn. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Gaura Nitai ki, Shishi Radha Kanaya Lala ki, Shri Giri Varadhari ki, Shishi Radha Madan Mohan ki, Gaura Prema Nandi.
Jai.